Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
G'day, Mike Hussey here, but you can call me Mr. Supercoach. KFC Supercoach BBL is back and there's 25 grand up for grabs. So what are you waiting for? Play today at supercoach.com.au.
T's and C's apply. New South Wales authorisation number TP/01005.
The Penrith Panthers in style. Slow out of the gates, but the Panthers and the Parramatta Eels. It's a golden West Grand Final coming up. What a cracker.
Yeah, what a great scenario for the NRL. The Battle of the West, Penrith versus Parramatta, I should say, on Sunday night, of course. And to talk about what's going to happen throughout the week and some of the stories are going to emerge throughout the week about the teams and also the coaches and the players, one of our good friends of the show, Jimmy Hooper from Fox Sports, has joined us. How are you, Jim?
G'day, boys. How you going?
Yeah, great. As a guy that loves Penrith Panthers and going through to another grand final, it's outstanding. But to play against one of their arch nemesis in the Parramatta Eels, the NRL couldn't have scripted this any better.
No, it's an epic grand final, isn't it, Sats? We all know the rivalry between Penrith and Parramatta, not just in recent seasons, but in the history of both clubs. Then you add in the complexity of the fact Parramatta haven't been able to win a premiership dating all the way back to 1986. It's currently the NRL's longest title drought. And we know how much, how long-suffering and also how huge their supporter base is. So Western Sydney at the moment, mate, the streets are divided. You're either blue and gold or you're in the black of the Panthers. And, the rival fans are really embracing what is one of the best rivalries in the game at the moment.
Now, Monday is all about media day where you get your first the first shot at both of the squads and takes me back to 2003 when we realised that all the media were there for your first training session on the Monday. And with only two teams remaining, what are some of the stories this week about players or coaches, whatever it may be, Jimmy, that may emerge that we will see on Fox Sports?
Well, mate, I'm glad you brought up 2003 because I was having a look at it earlier and I reckon the year that Penrith beat the Roosters in 2003, nobody expected you to win that competition. The Roosters were the defending premiers. They'd been the benchmark side for two straight seasons since Ricky Stewart had taken over. And I remember at the time, nobody gave Penrith a snowflake's chance in hell of being able to orchestrate the upset. You obviously played a pivotal role in that, Sats, and it was one of the best narratives in terms of the NRL era of underdogs winning the grand final. Then you go fast forward to 2005, Tim Sheens took the West Tigers on that magic carpet ride with Benji Marshall and the flick pass to Pat Richards. And I reckon this time around in 2022, if Parramatta can do it, I'm not saying they will, but if they can, it's as good a narrative from where they've had to come from, the fact they've had to go the hard way, being beaten in week one of the finals, then coming out and putting a score on Canberra, travelling up to Townsville, and now thrust into this game against, look, the Penrith team at the moment, they're just such a juggernaut. Like, I heard Joey Johns speaking on TV yesterday, and he said, look, Penrith, they're virtually unbeatable. So Parramatta are going to be absolutely have to be at their best to be any chance of causing what would be remembered as one of the all-time great grand final upsets.
Hey, Hoops, I'm looking back, only a couple of weeks ago, just over 2 weeks ago, and they met each other in that final. I thought Parramatta was going really well, holding their own. Big turning points came when Wonga Blake spilled a bomb and it ended up being three of them. Do you think he's going to be one of the headlines this week? Is there going to be a fair bit of focus on him on that right wing and the pressure he'll be under for Para?
Yeah, it's a good question, Badgen. Guaranteed. It'll be a huge headline all week. Look, he has got a couple of options, Brad Arthur. He can either stick solid with Wonga, and let's not forget, you talk about the storylines. You got Wonga, who's an ex-Penrith player. Mm. You got Regan Campbell-Gillard, who's an ex-Penrith player. You got Bryce Cartwright, whose grandfather is the founding member of the Panthers juggernaut that it is today, and they still call the main award for Penrith's best and fairest player the Merv Cartwright Medal. And then you've got other players as well that have also got history with the Panthers that now play for the Eels. So, look, no question, Wanga will dominate the headlines this week. He will personally be asked all about how he's going to handle the Nathan Cleary aerial assault. And I've got no doubt that the Panthers will talk up the fact that they intend to go back and try and exploit that weakness, because I'll tell you what, that night out at Penrith that Friday night, opening week, one of the finals, he did absolutely get peppered, and the Panthers did show that you can exploit a bit of a weakness there.
Our hot topic tonight, we've mentioned off the top, is a second Penrith premiership inevitable? It would seem that way, and I gather from what you said to us before, you're leaning that way. Just how good do the Eels have to, even if the Eels are at their best, if Penrith are at their best, are they unbeatable?
Well, you blokes watch a hell of a lot of footy, and every champion retired player who I speak to virtually declares that Penrith are morals. But I will put this caveat on it, Badge, and that is, I remember back in 2003 when the Roosters were absolutely flying and had been the benchmark side for the previous two seasons. No one gave that Penrith team a hope either in that grand final, and Sats was part of it. They went out and they etched their names into grand final folklore, and we still talk about it today as one of the great grand final upsets. So, look, I don't think Parramatta are without hope. Like, they've shown over the course of the last couple of seasons that they can mix it with the best sides. I think in this final series, we've seen more mental fortitude and more between the ears from Parramatta. I think previously at times that's where they can sometimes be brought undone, but I think they've showed some serious fortitude to be able to travel to Townsville, fly in and fly out the way that they did, trail 20-12 with 25 minutes remaining, and find the way to win. They're going to go in full of confidence. Look, they'll need to be at their absolute best. But I think South Sydney showed them a little bit of a blueprint last Saturday night. They led 12-0 early, and the Panthers were on tilt to a degree. Now, they had three tries tonight, but South showed that there are ways you can, if you can unsettle Penrith and get them out of their rhythm. I noticed Saturday night out of the game that there were some players in that side who they look frustrated. And that's where, if you can put scoreboard pressure on them early, and Parramatta are great at scoring early points and starting fast, that's how I think the Eels could possibly unsettle them. But if you ask me for a tip, I tip Penrith on the strength of what they've done over the course of the last couple of seasons.
Now, at the start of that, you just said, thinking back, remembering back to 2003, can you really remember it? Because I heard you got kidnapped up by the team later on.
James Hooper, as a young journo, was Clive Churchill medalist
off the field, was it?
Craig Gower did hijack me, Badge. I can confirm that. And as I always say whenever we have a laugh or a beer about it these days, just for the record, I was actually on day three because I'd already gone out the Friday night because it was grand final weekend. We backed up at the races. It was Epsom Day at Randwick on the Saturday. So we'd gone out on the Saturday as well. And then on Sunday night when the Panthers wrote their names into history, Gowie and Sats grabbed us. I ended up on the bus with them. And, look, let's just say we did kick long and strong. I think Sats and I might have been arm wrestling over bourbon and cokes at the Peachtree Hotel about 1:30 p.m. the next day. So
I say, there's some photos when we're on stage at Penrith, at the Panthers Leagues Club with the fans, and Hoops is in some of those photos. The next day, Paul Kent arrived at the Peachtree Hotel at about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the great Chippy Flingos was, I think he was Hoops' boss back then, and he said, Paul Kent came in and says, has anyone seen Hoops? I said, oh, he's around here before. We had a table full of bourbon and cokes over there before. I don't know where he's been. And Kenty's getting around trying to take as many stories as he can for the next day, publication. I found Hoops about an hour later asleep in a cubicle with a trough lolly in his pocket.
Mate, you've put salt and pepper on the trough lolly. The trough lolly wasn't in the top pocket.
Oh, it was in his mouth.
But I might have been catching a little bit of 40 winks, so I can confirm that. Yeah. Hey, like I said, it had been an emotional 72 hours. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, Hoops, how important is it to not overcoach this week? Now, Ivan Cleary's been there as a player. and as a coach with the New Zealand Warriors and now the Penrith Panthers. But and Brad Arthur, I loved his honesty on Friday night. He said, I've got to admit, I've never been here before. I don't know what to expect. So how important is it that someone like Brad Arthur doesn't overcoach the players this week?
Oh, 100%, super important. Look, we heard from them all last week that they weren't going to change too much up at Eels training. They just wanted to embrace the week leading into the Cowboys game, stay in their rhythm. They decided they were going to charter a plane up and charter straight out of Townsville, irrespective of the result. They obviously got the victory, but as you blokes both know, as players, I reckon you got to embrace grand final week. You got to enjoy it. You got to soak it up. And I think that's where Penrith have a clear advantage because they know what to expect. They've been there and done it previously. Whereas for the Eels, it is all foreign territory. And I'm sure that Brad Arthur is going to want to really try and pump as much footy as he can and as much game planning as he can into the playing group. Look, I think the biggest decision for Brad is around what he does with his bench. We saw on Friday night up there in Townsville, Jake Arthur sat on the bench for 80 minutes. So to beat a Cowboys team that's in form as North Queensland were with only 16 players, that's a hell of an achievement. But I would warn, I'm not sure you can beat this Penrith juggernaut the way that they're playing at the moment and the way that they can adapt to various different game plans. I'm not sure you can beat them if you're going to try and carry a player on the bench. So I'd be thinking maybe they should look at using Bryce Cartwright as cover in the halves if need be. And that would then mean that you can have the likes of Ryan Madison, Oregon Kafusi, and I think it's Makatoa. I always struggle with pronouncing his first name. He's an Eels front rower.
Makaheshi.
I think if you did that, then that's it. That's it. Thanks, Badge. You've saved me. You got me out of jail there. So if you did that, then you're really fighting the Panthers forward pack fire with fire. Because you look at that Penrith bench, and when you're bringing on Spencer Lenu, like Fisher Harris comes off and Spencer Lenu goes on, and they just don't skip a beat. So I'd be thinking that could be a little bit of an X factor edge for Parramatta, but whether Brad Arthur's prepared to go there or not, we'll have to wait and see.
And a 9-day turnaround will help the Eels because in the heat up in Townsville as well, and only using 16 players mean, you know, fewer rotations for their big men. Hey, now, Hoops, the Battle of the West that we talked about, never happened before, might never happen again. It's huge, as you said out there. Is this the week where Sydney siders actually wish they were Westies for the first time ever?
Mate, the Golden West's a huge part of Sydney, and, you know, Sats played a lot of his footy out there. Look, it is rugby league heartland. Penrith is very rich in terms of it's got the biggest junior rugby league nursery in the world, and we're seeing the fruits of that success now in the way that it's been set up. The systems are perfect. The fact that they've been able to win the SG Ball, the Harold Matz, and the Jersey Flag competitions already this season speaks volumes for what they've done as a club. And for Parramatta, like Peter Wynn's score shop out in Church Street Mall, mate, they were queued up all day Saturday. As soon as they were in, there was just a constant procession line snaking across the mall because of people wanting to get in and buy blue and gold apparel. So, look, it has set the city alight. I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, obviously all the Penrith staunch loyal supporters are going to want to see the Panthers go back-to-back, but I think a lot of other people will embrace Parramatta and the underdog status and the fact that the narrative that they haven't been able to do it all the way dating back to 1986. And look, it'd be a magnificent story if Brad Arthur and this side, who plenty of people have written off at various stages of this season, could go out and orchestrate one of the great grand final upsets.
Well, the train line from central Sydney out west will be very quiet on Sunday, but the other way will be absolutely bunter.
Peter Wynn, he'll be on the train going in and getting on a plane and going on a round-the-world holiday for 2 years.
After all the
just
money.
Just off the back of this, it's just been crazy.
Exactly.
Biggest week of his life.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy Hooper from Fox Sports, always great with your time. Thanks for joining us on Sports Day. And before we let you go, who wins? You're saying Penrith. Who's your Clive Churchill medalist?
I'll say the Panthers, and I'll say in a very tight game. I don't think there'll be a whole lot of difference. I'm tipping there'll only be a couple of points in it. And then I think Dylan Edwards can win the Clive Churchill medal.
Ooh,
he's due, isn't he?
Doing good.
Went
Nick,
close
he?
Last
well.
Year. Thanks for joining us on Sports Day, Hoops.
He's been in since. You must be loving watching him play, Badge.
Yeah.
No, not a worry, boys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Hope you've enjoyed the podcast with Badge and Sats on Sports Day. If you get the chance at any stage to listen to the show live, make sure you tune in each and every night, Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m.
Life's busy. Take this deck. There's heaps to do on it, like polishing off this wine. That's tough. Life's pretty good with a Trex deck. Composite decking with no hard maintenance. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.